This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Before we get into AMI at the movies, we've got a clip from the trailer of the Netflix fantasy series, Shadow and Bone.
You're safe now. Tell me what happened in the fall.
A calming woman wears a ruby ring.
What saved you?
You won't believe me, but this was a sun summoner.
A young man shields his eyes from blinding light that shreds circling dragons. A young woman is brought forward.
Is this true? Can you summon light?
With a clawed ring, a man in a long dark coat cuts her arm. The beam of light released rises to the sky.
She's real.
A Netflix original series.
Our enemies are threatened by your mere existence.
The whole world will be after you.
Hunters assemble.
The prize is 1 million Kruger.
Bring me Alina Starkov.
Am I a prisoner?
All of Ravka is. Until you and I enter the fold. And destroy it from within.
Dragons attack.
Amy Manti is our film reviewer. She's also the host of the AMI original podcast, Accessing Art with Amy, and she joins us this morning from Vancouver, BC. Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
So, Amy, I need to get some more clarification here, because that trailer, although very stylish and very dramatic, doesn't necessarily describe what Shadow and Bone is all about. So give us a bit of a synopsis here.
Do you know what's interesting, Mr. Brown, is I actually had to turn to the Google machine to help me to figure out what this series was about, and I watched it. So here's a little quote from Google. So this is an American fantasy streaming on Netflix, and there's 8 episodes. We're in our first season of this particular show, and it's based on the Grisha novels. So the first of the novels, which is called Shadow and Bone. So we're in a fantasy kingdom called Ravka, and it's set in this war-torn plague type era, and it's war-torn because of the Shadow Fold. So in the trailer, there's this large sort of black wafty swath of permanent darkness that separates the east side of Ravka from the west side of Ravka, and in that black fold, they call it the Fold, it's inhabited by these carnivorous winged characters known as the Valkra. So I think the describer called them dragons, but they're known as the Valkra. So then what we're doing is we're following this orphaned map maker named Alina Starkov, who discovers that she is a Grisha and that she holds a special power to manipulate matter. And this power is the light beam that they're talking about in the trailer. And this could be the key to setting her country free. Country is Ravka, from the Fold. And so we're following Alina's journey into entering the Grisha army, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but there are so many plot lines here that it's a little hard to keep track of. So maybe I'll just say that's the Coles Notes version.
Okay. I think that's a pretty fair Coles Notes version. I feel like I'm at least in the universe now. So now that we're in the universe, who's in the cast?
Well, who's in the cast is Jessie Mai Lee, and she plays Alina Starkov, who is our main character in this particular series. And as I mentioned, she's an orphan, and she is trained as a cartographer, so a map maker for the Royal Corps. And the map makers were tasked to figure out how to make it around this fold. Can we go over it? Can we go around it? Doesn't that sound like a children's song? You can't go over it. You can't go around it. You got to go through it. And so, of course, merchants and whatever have to travel through it by boat, which are referred to by a different name that escapes me, and they travel on sand, not on water. So, okay, so it gets complicated. And then we've got Freddie Carter, who plays this character named Baz, who is hunting Alina Starkov for his own purposes to sell her. They mentioned that there's a prize of a million, their version of dollars, to find the Sun Summoner, who is this, you know, who is Alina. She doesn't know she's the Sun Summoner, and she has been sort of lost to the history of the Grisha for eons, and now sort of miraculously appears. And then we've got Zoe Wanamaker, who plays a character named Bagra, who eventually starts to train Alina as the Grisha that she is, and starts to help her harness her mythical powers.
Amy, as you mentioned, this is based off of a series of young adult novels. Just because something's labeled young adult doesn't mean it can't be popular and enjoyed by adults. I think we've seen a lot of stuff like Twilight, for example, The Hunger Games, Divergent. All of this was young adult fiction, Harry Potter, that became extremely, extremely popular. So is this a story that's compelling to adults as well as young adults?
Well, you know, in terms of its, I guess it's cinematography, all of those pieces, translation from the books to a TV series. There's no foul language. There's no gratuitous sex scenes. There's not even really any overly gratuitous violence in this.
Okay,
so
I'm
in terms
out.
Of that perspective,
I'm out. No sex, no violence, no cursing. Come on.
It's the young adult version of Game of Thrones, basically. Without all of the fun stuff that made Game of Thrones fun. But at any rate, it is quite benign in that sense. Although I would say that, again, for me, the plot line was so hard to follow that I just, I can't see it being something that, you know, a 14, 15-year-old is like, oh, yeah, I totally get it. Oh, yeah, I'm following this along. Mm. So, you know, I would say that it's probably a cross-genre kind of thing. I mean, adults who enjoy this, and I enjoy this genre of film and television making, but there was just something about this that I just thought to me was a little, you know, sometimes when they throw all the ingredients in the pot at once and then, you know, they introduce everything at the beginning and then you're like, whoa, like that episode was way too much.
Yeah.
Now that I've watched all 8 episodes, I kind of feel like if I went back and watched the first 3 or 4, I probably would have a better handling on it because, you know, you've got all these different character worlds that are coming together and they all have different, again, like we see in Game of Thrones, like we see in The Lord of the Rings. It's like learning a foreign language to enjoy the content, right? Because you've got names of places and concepts and characters and types of people that are foreign to you, and you have to wrap your brain around all of that.
Yeah, and that's something where the written word does become a little bit easier to digest than, say, a TV series or a film, because if you need to reread a page, it's really easy to do in reading form, whereas it's a little bit more tricky when you're trying to watch a show. You get yourself out of the flow a little bit. Now, Amy, the series itself is trending globally. It's doing some pretty big numbers. So what do you think accounts for that success?
You know, I think, I guess, what the internet says accounts for that success is the fact that they had really great acting, that they've got good cinematography, that they've got really good graphics and special effects. I found the acting to be a tad cheesy. But again, this is really marketed to, you know, I think typically watchers between the ages of 14 and 24 kind of genre. And it doesn't take a lot in terms of acting chops to be able to, you know, portray these kinds of characters. There's not a lot of depth in these kind of characters. The depth to the characters is in the literal lines that they say. So there's not a lot of backstory to play with necessarily. So I think really just its popularity is the popularity of the books. And it does, you know, critics do say that it will translate to audiences who haven't read the books. But I think, again, you have to be somebody who's really, really fascinated about this kind of storytelling. And obviously there are a lot of people who are. And so I think that's really what the draw is, what the appeal is.
How is the audio description?
Super important. Again, when you've got a storyline that covers so many different avenues and you have to keep track and that you're going back and forth from sort of these different cities and these different worlds, the reminder of what city you're in is really helpful. And sometimes it appears in text on the screen. And sometimes the describer just tells you because they know that this character is in a different city than the other characters were. And it's a reminder of where we are and when. So really, really important. Doesn't do such a great job at describing, for example, these Volcra dragon-like characters, which were described as flying gargoyles. And I thought, well, that's nice if you know what a gargoyle looks like.
Right.
So sometimes I think that the audio description gives too much credit and it caters only to people who have maybe had sight in their lives before and have a concept of what some of these things are, whereas they really could have referred to it as a giant monster, given us the scale of it, talked about, you know, its ugly face, those kinds of things to bring that character, that kind of character to life.
Amy, I've got to hold you to 30 seconds on this, but out of 10, how would you rate the series?
I gave it a 7. I gave it a 7 for me. I don't think I need to dive into season 2, but season one was you know, worth the ride, but it took me the whole week to watch it.
I feel that. Hey, Amy, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. Have yourself a nice day.
You got it. Happy week.
That's Amy Amanti, a community reporter and movie reviewer in Vancouver, BC. Also the host of Accessing Art with Amy, an AMI audio original podcast. Today she reviewed Shadow and Bone, currently streaming on Netflix. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.